Welcome. I'm Nestor Flores, the pastor of Dayspring Church in Mission Hills, California. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I want to invite you to learn more about Dayspring Church by visiting our website, dayspringmh.org. We trust that if you open your heart, God will speak to you and you'll know how to live a life with God at the center that will result in a blessed life. This message will inspire, build your faith, and help you to know God better. Enjoy the message.
All right, so today we're starting a brand new series that we are calling Bold Prayers. Right there in your bulletin, if you would open it, there's an outline. You can use it to follow along with me. And we're starting this new series. In this series, hear me out, this series is going to prepare us. You ready for this? It's going to prepare us for our revival weekend. Amen? Yes, I'm glad some of you are excited. So our revival weekend is going to be September 12th through the 14th. Save the day, Friday at 7, Saturday at 6, and then Sunday as regularly. We want to separate a weekend to seek the Lord. Come on. During the summer, we get so busy with the kids being out of school. We get so distracted planning vacation, weddings, parties, that a lot of times our spiritual life takes a hit. Come on. Am I the only one? Right? So we need to realign. We need to do an intentional push to get back and to get serious with God. So we're going to be doing our revival weekend, September 12th through the 14th. And this series is going to lead us up to then. We want to see God do big things. I don't know about you, but I do. I want to see God do big things. That's why we're not only going to talk about bold prayers, but most importantly, we're going to seek the Lord to do big and mighty things. September 1st, you got about half a month. September 1st, we're not only going to be in this series, but starting Monday, September 1st, together as a church, we're going to do an intentional push to see God. And I'm going to be asking you to pick a fast, pick something to fast. And for 14 days, I'm going to ask you to fast that. And we're gonna agree to pray together at a certain hour. We're gonna give you more details. And listen, we cannot just expect God to do big things. I love what one of the early church fathers used to say. He used to say, if you want God to do great things, then attempt great things for God. Yes. Amen. So we're gonna be doing that. But today we're starting this series, and the focus of this series is for it to change the way you pray. And not only do we need to pray, but we need to change the way we pray. Can I prove that to you? Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you made such a prayer that it scared you, shook your faith, stretched your heart, and pushed you to seek God in a different way? When was the last time you made such a daring, bold, difficult, almost impossible prayer that it wasn't just this, God, please help me? Because see, most of the prayers that we make are like, God, I'm about to eat this cheesecake. Please don't let me gain a few pounds. God, I'm on my way to work and I woke up late because I stayed up late last night. Please help me to get there on time. Those aren't bold prayers. See, the truth of the matter is that most of us, we pray too safe, too small, too vague, and too secure. And I want you to know that God is not intimidated by bold prayers. That in fact, God is invited by them. That God is pleased. That God wants to work in the middle of bold, big prayers. Look at what Ephesians 3:20 tells us right there in your outlines. It says, now, all glory to God who is able, look at this, through his mighty power at work, where? Within us. Through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish, this is beautiful, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or what? Think. Did you catch that? Yeah. This verse says that God is able to do more than we can what? What is the key word there? Ask. God is able to answer bold prayers. But see, most of us, we pray too small. We pray too safe. And there is a need for bold prayers because every single one of us has areas in our life that safe, secure, soft prayers won't do. Where big, bold, faith-filled prayer is required. Now, let me appease the mind of some of you. Bold prayers are not about twisting God's arm. They're not about manipulating God. They're not about cornering God against the wall and saying, well, I did this, I said this, I believe this, now you need to do something. No, bold prayers are not about manipulating or twisting God. Bold prayers are about tapping into the power of God and trusting God's will to answer those prayers. Yes. That's what bold prayers are about. So that's why what we're going to do today is that we're going to talk about the power of bold prayers. And we're going to explore what happens when we stop praying so safe, so secure, so timid, and we begin to be filled with faith and courage and trust in God's will and make bold prayers. We're going to look at the power of bold prayers because bold prayers do three things. I'm going to give them to you in advance and then we'll dive in into each one. Number one, bold prayers open the door to God's presence. Number two, bold prayers bring healing and restoration. Don't worry about writing them down. We'll look at them. And bold prayers make things happen. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to elbow your neighbor carefully. Don't get vengeful. Don't take the anger you have towards me against them, okay? Just kindly, gently tell them, are you ready? Ask them, are you ready? If you're ready, let's see the power behind bold prayers. Here's the first one. Fill this out in your outline. Bold prayers are powerful because bold prayers pull us into God's presence. Bold prayers. Pastor, what does that have to do? What does God's presence have to do with the power of bold prayers? Well, here's the thing. I'm going to give it to you from the beginning, then we'll dissect it. The power behind bold prayers is found in the presence of God. Yeah. See, the first mistake that we make, and one of the reasons we pray too soft, is that in order to make bold prayers, we need to be in the presence of God. Yeah. Because it is in His presence. It is when we seek His face, not just His hands, that bold prayers are not only made, but they're answered. Look at what Jeremiah 33:3 says. It's a verse well known to many of us. God speaking, He says, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to what? To come. Notice that the context of prayer, the context of asking is in God's presence. In order to make bold prayers, we cannot do it from a safe place. We cannot do it from a distance because the first things that bold prayers do is that they lead us. They cause us to enter. They pull us into the presence of God. And Jeremiah 33:3, it's more than a promise. It's a personal invitation from our King and our Lord into His presence. Look at it with me. Look, He says, ask me. That's the invitation. He's saying, ask me. He's inviting us. But then He says, I will tell you. That's intimacy. That's relationship. God is not a God that we just go and we dump our pleas or our to-do list and then doesn't want anything to do with us. No, no, no. He says, ask me. Come. Because what I want is intimacy. I want a relationship with you. But it doesn't stop there. Look at the third thing that He says. He says, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know. You know what that is? That is revelation. God reveals to us things that we need to know, that we are longing, that we don't understand, but they are only possible when we pray and we enter His presence. See, the difference between casual prayers and bold prayers is that casual prayers ask for help. But bold prayers, they want more than information or help. They want the giver. They don't just want the gift. They want the giver. And bold prayers. See, when you need God to do something that only He can do, then you don't just do it casually. Because bold prayers require us to enter His presence. Look at what James 5:15 says, another very well-known passage to many of us. James says, is anyone among you suffering? What is he supposed to do? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him what? Let him sing praise. Now, these are two different circumstances, suffering and celebration. But the approach is the same. What is the approach? Draw to me, come to me, be with me. Because whether you are praying or you're worshiping, it is all about the presence of God. Amen. And that's the power. That's the power that whether you're in the valley of pain or in the mountain of joy, God says, come, come to me, come and be with me. Because more than what you need me to do, what you need is me. Yeah. See, some of us, not everybody, some of us know what it's like to make a prayer and have God not answer that prayer, but have the assurance that God is with you. Yeah. Amen. And we want God to answer. I've wanted God to bring my dad back. I wanted God to make a door to bring my dad back. But you know what? He hasn't answered that prayer. But you know, He's given me something better. His presence, His assurance that everything's going to be okay. And that's what bold prayers do. Now, look at Psalm 34, 4 and 5. This is so rich with the presence of God. Look at what the psalmist says in those two verses. He says, I prayed to the Lord, and He what? He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with what? Joy. See, these two psalms, they tell us about the power of bold prayers. They tell us about the transformation that happens when we enter His presence. I want to break it down for you one more time. The psalmist says, I prayed. That's the approach. What's your attitude? When you have a need, when you have an obstacle, when you have a mountain, where's your approach? Where do you go to ask for help? He says, I prayed. So that speaks about approach. But then he says, and He what? He answered me. Once again, that's the connection. That's the relationship. And God doesn't just connect with us. God doesn't just invite us into His presence. Then He says, He freed me. That's transformation. That's answer prayered. But once again, it doesn't stop there, because it ends by saying that we are filled with radiant joy. And you know what radiant joy is? That is the evidence of the presence of God in our lives. When God is with you, it's not so much about the answer prayer, but it is about the one who can answer that prayer. And that's why James says, you can be happy in the middle of tribulations. You can be joyful in the middle of tribulations. Why? Because you know God's with you, because you are with God. Amen. I think I'm preaching better than you're listening, but or are you still mad que los regañé? Because I still see some fuchi faces. So I think the Lord will make you better by the end of the service. Amen. I am intentionally going to stand at the exit of the door to hug every single one of you. And if you're mad at me, you can hug me a little harder. Just don't pinch me, please. Okay? See, bold prayers, as Pentecostals and as Hispanics, for those of us that are Hispanic, we sometimes think that bold prayers are about shouting and screaming. That the louder you can scream, the bolder and the more authority your prayer has. There may be a room for that. But see, we learn that the key, that the answer to bold prayers is not how loud we can scream, but how deep in the presence of God we can go. It's not about being loud. It's about being present with God. That's why at the beginning of September, we're going to draw to God and say, God, more than your help, I want you. You know why that's important? Ready? Some of you may not be mature enough to hear this, but I got to say it to you. Because God is not going to answer all of your prayers. But when you make a prayer and you start with presence, even when He says no, there's peace in your heart. There's joy in your life. Amen? Number two, here's the second one. Bold prayers are powerful because bold prayers invite healing into broken places. Both prayers not only pull us into the presence of God, they also invite healing into broken places. The prophet Hosea in chapter 6, verse 1 says the following. He says, come, let us what? Return to the Lord. Not run from the Lord, but return to the Lord. For he has what? Torn us. That he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us what? Up. See, the second point is very important because we all have places where we're hurting. We all have places where we're broken. Wounds that are hidden, hurts that we've carried for so long, and brokenness that we've normalized and learned to live with. And see, too often, we convince ourselves that healing just won't happen. That we need to learn to live with it. But you know, the Bible gives us a different message. The Bible tells us that healing is not only possible, that healing is not only available, that healing is also promised. But it is bold prayers that access and invite that healing power from God. Look at what Hosea says. He says, let us return to the Lord that he may what? That he may heal us. And more than poetic, that is a prophetic word from the prophet. More than just nice words, more than just a beautiful verse, more than just poetry, it is prophecy. It is the desire of God. It speaks about his availability and about his willingness. And listen, yes, sometimes we hurt ourselves. Sometimes the choices that we make, they break our lives. They wound us. Sometimes God allows things that we don't deserve or that we didn't ask for to come into our lives. But let me tell you something. The Bible is very clear about something. Whether it was your fault or whether it was the result of life, God wants to be there to heal it. God wants to be there to bind those areas that are broken. But bold prayers are necessary. Prayers where we not only declare that we believe that he's able to heal us. Prayers where we not only seek his presence because we understand that the power for bold prayers begins in his presence, but also where we trust him and we look to him. See, a lot of times healing is about trusting God. It's not about God's willingness or availability. Sometimes it's about our trust. Look at what James says. And again, this is another well-known passage. But James 5, 14 and 15. And I'm not talking about James a lot today because the Dallas Cowboys lost. But just, no. I'm asking James. You know I love you. Again. Did you guys hear the news? The Cowboys are disqualified from the playoffs already? All right, James 5, 14, 15. James 5, 15. I thought it was James 31, 21, but no, it's James 5. Nobody got that one. Nobody got it. That was the score of yesterday, guys. Come on. Okay. Settle down. James 5, 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Let me pause right there. By the way, one of the reasons we do what we did earlier today is because the Bible invites us to do that. Amen. That's why we pray for you and we anoint you. And not just when you're sick, but for anything. But look at verse 15. And the prayer offered in what? In faith will make the sick person what? Well, the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be what? Forgiven. Now listen to me. These verses are not about superstition. They're not about superstition. It's not about the oil. It's not about the leaders of the church. It's not about the ritual. No. The power behind that prayer that heals is faith. Because he says, the prayer made in faith will heal. And that is the key. Listen, we as pastors have a responsibility, but we don't have magical powers. The oil, we consecrate it. We set it aside. It is dedicated unto God, but it doesn't have magical powers. It's not the person, and it's not the oil. What God looks at, it's at the faith. And when we pray in faith, then we can see God heal people. And I want to tell you that I believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he healed 1,000 years ago, and he continues to heal today. But it is faith. It is faith that makes available. And listen, this is how powerful this is. That it is not just physical healing. Because James says that that kind of prayer will not only heal physically, but it says that if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. You know why? Because sometimes our healing is not in our bodies. Sometimes the healing is in our soul. Sometimes the healing is in our mind. Sometimes the healing is in our relationships. And I want to tell you, when you make bold prayers, they invite the healing power of God in our life. And I want to tell you that there is nothing too broken in your life that Jesus can't restore it. There is no area, there is no relationship, there is nothing in your life that God can't restore. So church, what needs healing in your life? Where can you make a bold prayer today? Is it a broken body? Is it a wounded heart? Maybe it's in an addiction that you've been hiding for years. Or maybe it's the guilt that weighs you down. Or perhaps that depression that has drained you of the joy and hope that Jesus offers you. Church, don't settle. Don't learn to cope with it. Don't learn to survive. Learn to get so filled with faith that you believe and ask God to heal you, and you know that he'll do it. Because once again, bold prayers are not about fancy words. They're about a faith that is offered up that invites the healing power of God into our lives. Number three, here's the third one. Bold prayers are powerful because bold prayers produce powerful results. If something is powerful, then it's got to produce powerful results. Look at what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 45:11, the King James Version. Look at what he says. This is so awesome. You don't want to miss this. He says, thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker. Look at this. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You what? Command me. This is one of the most shocking statements in scripture. Because God is speaking to us and he's saying, command me. And we don't command God. Hear me, this is so important because a lot of people are doing this and they're doing it the wrong way. We don't command God because we are equal to God or because we ourselves are God. No. When God says, command me, he is making an invitation for us to partner with him, not for our wishes or desires, but for his purposes. And God says, concerning my plan, concerning my agenda, don't only ask me, command me. And this is not arrogance. This is alignment with the will of God. This is not about being entitled, but this is about understanding that God has entrusted us his kingdom. Listen, bold prayers are powerful because they produce powerful results. And too many Christians are reactionary in their prayers. We react to bad news. We react to loss. We react to crisis. We react to the diagnosis. But God is inviting us to make revolutionary prayers. Prayers that shape the future because they declare the will of God. Prayers that birth the agenda of heaven on earth. And if you want to see powerful things happen, you got to make bold prayers. Because bold prayers, and if you haven't caught this, let me make it very clear. Bold prayers are not about asking for something. It is about prophesying something. Amen. But we don't prophesy our wishes and desires. Please hear me out. We prophesy in alignment with heaven's agenda, with God's plan. Let me give you an example of that. Look at what that looks like. Once again, James 5, 31, 21. No, I'm sorry. 5 James 17, 18. Look at what it says. Elijah was as human as we are. Just like you and me. He got hungry. He used the bathroom. He got upset. Just as human as we are. Look at this. And yet, when he prayed earnestly, or other versions say fervently, that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its what? Its crops. See, a lot of people look at that verse and they just look at the weather. They said, oh, wow, Elijah was able to command and manipulate the weather. He must have been the husband of storm. You have to be a comic book geek to get that one. But listen, James tells us that when Elijah prayed for rain to stop, it stopped. And when Elijah prayed again for water to fall, it rained. Do you know why God answered that prayer? Because it was in alignment with God's plan and agenda. This wasn't Elijah being a show off. This wasn't Elijah just trying to be cool. No, this was an Elijah who understood the plans and the purposes of God. And he prayed according to the will and the plan of God. And when he prayed bold prayers, he got powerful results. See, God invites us to make these kind of prayers. And I want to tell you something. Bold prayers command the hand of God. Did you hear that? Bold prayers command the hand of God. But you need to know the second part of that sentence. You need to know the other side of that coin. Bold prayers command the hand of God because they know the heart of God. Bold prayers move the hand of God because they first have touched the heart of God. They know God's will. They know God's plan. They know God's blueprint. They know God's desires. They know God's word, and they can pray according to those things. So, once again, church, what miracles have you stopped believing in? In our last prayer gathering, Martha, as we gathered to pray, Martha said, I have seen many miracles. And I am praying for another miracle. And she invited those of us that were there to believe with her that God was able to do that miracle. And I want to ask you too, what miracle have you given up on? What area you need to stop praying emotionally and start praying prophetically? What area do you need to stop just being passionate and you need to start taking the authority of heaven over? Because I want to tell you, regarding the work of God's hands, God is still saying to us, command me. Let me finish with this. A few weeks back, I was going to go out. I don't know what I was going to go do. And Nathan says, Dad, can I come with you? And he always wants to come with me. So I didn't find that weird or odd. I said, well, he just wants to be with me. And he said, Dad, can I come with you? And I said, sure, let's go, buddy. And as we were driving, doing what we were doing, he was being extra nice. You know what I mean? You know where I'm going, right? Dad, he's just being really kind, really cool. Then out of nowhere, he goes, Dad, would you buy me a spaceship? He's gotten into collecting Star Wars spaceship, and he saw one in Mexico and he wanted it. And I said, let me see. I said, I won't promise you because I've learned not to promise my kids things that I'm not intentionally going to fulfill. So all I said is, I'll see. But he kept like being nice, and once in a while, Dad, you think you'll give me that spaceship? Now, I'm a good dad. I am. I'm a good dad. The Bible says that if we are good, how much better is he? So, a few days later, I was at Target and I saw the spaceship. Guess what I did? I bought it. Of course, you bet I bought it. You know why I bought it? Because I love my son. And when I brought it home, he was so happy. He was so happy. He was so glad. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you why I bought it. I bought it because I really enjoyed his presence and I noticed it. And although I could read him and know that he wanted to be with me because he wanted something, I still enjoyed his presence. And I bought it because I have the financial capacity to buy it for him. In fact, 2 days later, you know how kids are, right? He wanted a bigger spaceship. He wanted the Millennium Falcon now. And I looked it up and I was like, oh, I mean, I could buy it, but then I would be financially responsible there. So, you know what I've been doing? I've been keeping an eye on it to see if it goes on sale. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. This morning, I woke up and I opened up the Walmart app and it's on sale for $41. I'd love to tell you that I already ordered it, but I haven't, so I would be lying to you. But you see where I'm going? Listen, we are not like our Heavenly Father.
We hope you enjoyed this message. But before you go, we want to extend an invitation to start a personal relationship with Jesus and declare Him your God. No one loves you like Jesus, and no one will impact your life for good like Jesus will. Would you make the following prayer your prayer? Heavenly Father, I repent of my wrongdoing. I open my heart and I want to have a personal relationship with you. I trust that Jesus died so I could be forgiven, but he didn't stay dead. He rose back to life so I could have eternal life. From today on, I will follow you, transform my life through your truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations! If you made that prayer, God lives in you and now you have a new life in him. Connect to a church so your faith and love for God can continue to grow. We believe that you can find a loving and encouraging community in Dayspring Church. Come visit us. You belong here. We would love to meet you.